the implanted word, receiving the implanted word. And we came out of James, was our foundational text. Mm-hmm. And we're going to go back there today. But I do want to read something to you before we start there. We said in the beginning that all scripture,
amen.
All scripture,
yes. Amen.
Not some scripture, amen. All scripture, amen. Is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, mm-hmm. for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works.
Amen.
Amen. We said that that word reproof means to tell one what is wrong. That's what the word does. It'll tell you what's wrong.
Amen.
Amen. We said it's for correction. It'll show you how and tell you how to correct what is wrong.
Amen.
We all agreed on that last week, right?
Amen.
2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16 through 17 says that.
Amen.
Amen. Are you sure?
Amen.
All right.
Ready.
We started out by saying that to receive the implanted word of God, the first thing that we must do, we must receive it. We must welcome it. Amen. As God's word. And then the second part, which I'm going to talk about today, is that we're going to have to respond to it, right? I said there was three things. We have to receive it first, mm-hmm. we have to respond to it, and then we have to reflect on it.
Amen.
All right, so we talked last week about receiving it, welcoming it in as God's word. So today I'm going to cover responding to it and reflecting in it. And let's look at James chapter 1. James chapter 1. When you're there, say, praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
James chapter 1. Anybody there?
Amen.
Amen. Verse 22 says, but be doers of the word, not hearers only. You just confessed that, didn't you?
Amen.
Deceiving yourselves, for if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man observing his natural face in a mirror. For he observes himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it and is not a forgetful hearer but a doer of the work, this one will be what?
Blessed.
In what?
What he does.
In all that he does. Amen?
Amen.
If anyone among you think he is religious and does not bridle his tongue, you need to underline that. Somebody need to underline that.
Amen.
You think you're religious and does not bridle his tongue but deceives his own heart, this one's religion is what?
Vain. Useless.
Pure and undefiled religion before God and the Father is this, to visit orphans and widows in their trouble and to keep oneself unspotted from the world. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
Now, how do you position yourself so that you can be blessed in all that you do? Well, James says by responding to the word, mm-hmm. the way a person is supposed to respond to what he sees in a mirror.
Amen.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Mm-hmm. See, we've all seen people who look like they didn't spend enough time in the mirror.
Amen.
And as I look out amongst you today, some of y'all, no, I'm just kidding.
Amen.
You know what I'm saying?
Amen.
It's like, some people didn't spend enough time in front of the mirror fixing what was wrong.
Amen.
See, and it's interesting that the word James uses in verse 23 for the person in the mirror is the Greek word for male. He said man, right? As opposed to mankind, which would include man and woman.
Right.
Are you with me?
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Now, why does James use this man as an illustration? Well, I believe with all things being equal, men don't spend as much time in front of the mirror as women do.
Amen.
Now, I know I might be skating on some thin ice here, but I want you to stay with me, okay? See, we men tend to glance in the mirror and then we go on. Whereas a woman, women are more apt to study their appearance in the mirror. Right? Are you with me?
Amen.
So James is saying, watch this. He says, don't just look into the word and run on.
Amen.
Did you catch that?
Amen.
See, the way a man might glance in the mirror and notice what needs to be noticed and don't notice what needs to be noticed. He don't want you to just look at the word and just keep going.
Right.
Amen.
What are mirrors designed to do? See, they are made to show us exactly what we look like so we can see and correct what's wrong. That's what a mirror is designed to do. See, the mirror only reflects what's there. Y'all quiet today.
Amen. Amen. Come on now, Pastor.
See, we can't get upset at the mirror when it does its job and telling us the truth.
Amen. See? That's right.
See, we don't look good. The mirror will tell us that you don't look good.
Amen.
Am I right about it?
Amen.
See, I know this guy one time, he got so mad at what the mirror showed him that he smashed the mirror. Mm-hmm. See, and that's not the idea. See, a mirror is designed to show you what's really there, things that you may not be able to detect on your own.
Amen.
Amen. So James calls the Bible, right, a mirror for our souls.
Amen.
See, it shows us what we're really like inside. And guess what? We need that.
Yes, we do.
We need that because a lot of us think we look better than we really do.
Amen.
I mean, have you ever looked in the mirror and was shocked? Some of y'all did it this morning. Y'all got out of bed, looked in the mirror and go, I can't say the word, but you know what you said. You were stunned. You wasn't stunned. Some of y'all getting out of... Okay.
Said I look good.
You thought your hair was lined up. You thought your tie was on straight. You thought everything was in order, but then you glanced in the mirror and it told you that you was a hot mess.
Amen.
Am I right about it?
Amen.
You said, she said, nah, that wasn't me. I know, I heard you. I heard you. See, once you see that, the issue is, what are you going to do about it? When you look in the mirror and see that you're a hot mess, what are you going to do about it?
Fix it.
Huh?
Fix it.
If you just take a peek and keep going, the mirror didn't do you any good. See, many Christians, watch this now, listen to, I want you to hear this. Many Christians mark their Bibles, right? But never let their Bibles mark them. You know how you do it. You got, see, some of y'all are highlighting and underlining.
Mm-hmm.
But let the Bible mark you. And James uses this other word in verse 23 that's pretty interesting. He says, for if anyone is a hearer, right? And it's describing a person who only hears the word. And this word here is used as an audit. Right? If you ever audited a class in college, this is what you were saying, I want all the information, but none of the responsibility.
No.
I mean, why is that? When you audit a class, you don't have to do any of the homework, you don't have to take any of the tests, but you get to sit in class and absorb all the knowledge.
Mm-hmm.
But watch this. You cannot audit the Christian life.
Amen.
Am I right?
Amen.
You can't just sit and take information and accept none of the responsibility for what you hear.
Amen. That's
See, a disciple has to do the homework and then pass the test.
Amen.
Come on, say amen to that.
Amen.
Jesus gave plenty of examples in the Bible where he gave the disciples the information and sent them out on the test.
That's right.
And a lot of times, they didn't pass the test.
Amen.
Remember when they went in, Jesus said, let us get in the boat and go on the other side. And the big storm arose, and they all came running downstairs and said, Lord, don't you even care that we're going to die in this big old storm, right? And then Jesus says, O ye of little faith, didn't I just tell you we were going to the other side? What did he do? He got up and said, what? Peace be still. All the storms calmed down. The water stopped filling up the boat, and they made it where? To the other side. So I'm saying this to you. If Jesus tells you that you're going to the other side, then guess what? You're going to the other side.
Amen.
Just do what he's telling you to do.
Amen.
You're going to get there.
Amen.
Are you okay?
Amen.
See, hearing the word without responding to it is like chewing our food without swallowing. See, it tastes good, but it has no long-term benefits. Mm-hmm. Right? Mm-hmm. See, what a lot of Christians do is chew the word the way that they chew gum. Mm-hmm. See, they chew it until the flavor is gone, then they spit it out until they can get a fresh piece of gum or the word. Mm-hmm. Right? See, and they say, well, that's nice and that's juicy. But a lot of Christians, see, they like a good sermon, but then they ignore the word until they can get something that else that excites them. Sometimes I'm asked, you know, well, what are you preaching on next? And, you know, next time. And, you know, sometimes that question sounds like a person chewed on the last sermon. Right? Got all the flavor out of it, wadded it up, and threw it away. Now he wants a piece of the new spiritual chewing gum. Right? Well, as Jesus' disciples, every time we come to the Word, we should pray, Lord, show me myself as you see me. Amen. But we don't do that. You know why? Because that's threatening. See, a lot of us, I'm going to say this. Can I say this?
Amen.
Deacon, is it okay if I say this? A lot of us like lying mirrors. See, we're like that fairy tale queen that said, mirror, mirror on the wall, who's the fairest of them all? Mm-hmm. And accepted only one answer. See, most people want a mirror to make them look good. But then Paul warned Timothy this. Go to 2 Timothy chapter 2. He warns Timothy of this. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse number 4. Chapter 4. 2 Timothy chapter 4, I'm sorry. 2 Timothy chapter 4. And I'm going to start at verse number 1. Are you there?
Amen.
It says, I charge you therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who will judge the living and the dead at his appearing in his kingdom. Preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering and teaching, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itchy ears, they will heap for themselves teachers that will turn their ears away from the truth. See, these are people that want the preacher to tell them what they want to hear,
Amen.
Not what they need to hear.
Amen.
He says, Paul warns Timothy about that. He said, watch for folks like that, that don't want you to tell them the truth. They just want you to tickle their ears. See, people like that want a false view of themselves. Amen? Now, can I share this with you?
Amen.
Did you know that hell will be full of people who looked in the mirror and thought that they were okay?
Wow.
See, they thought they were good enough and righteous enough to stand before a holy God because they refused to believe what they saw in the mirror of the Word of God.
Amen.
James says, don't just look at it and keep going. Look what he says in verse 25. James chapter 1, verse 25. Go back there. He says that we should do this. He says, but he who looks into the perfect law and continues in it is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the works. This one will be blessed in all that he does.
Mm-hmm.
James is saying that we are not to glance in the mirror of God's word, but we are to gaze at it.
Mm-hmm.
Stare at it. Take an intense look at it. That's what he's saying. See, we're to stare at it. See, can I go back on some thin ice here for a minute?
Mm-hmm. All right.
Okay. It's amazing to me how the way women use mirrors. See, they want a 360 degree look. Right? They check everything out on the front. Then they pull a mirror out of their pocketbook. And then
go ahead.
And then they get another look at the back. Right? Am I right about it? In other words, what they're doing is they're looking intently into the mirror. See? They want to cover all the ground. Right? See, they don't want to miss anything because they want to look impeccably their best. Mm-hmm. Come on now.
Amen.
Well, James is saying this. When you come before the mirror of God's word,
yes.
He says you want a 360 degree look.
Yes.
Amen.
Yes.
But see, a lot of us, we just want the front view. Mm-hmm. We just want the Old Testament or the New Testament. Mm-hmm. Or we want two or three scriptures out of here.
Uh-huh.
We don't want the whole conclusion of the matter. Mm-hmm. You know I'm telling you, right? I know
amen.
I'm preaching better than y'all saying amen.
Amen.
See, what God, you want God to show you whatever it is so you can respond to it, to what you see. Amen?
Amen?
And too many Christians approach the Bible like tourists and not like explorers. See, because a tourist will take a quick look and they'll keep on going. They'll say, oh, that's nice, that looked good, that's interesting. And they'll just keep right on moving, right? But an explorer, he looks at and he studies and he makes maps because he wants to find out the real deal.
Mm-hmm.
See, when you are looking into the Word of God, you want to flip through this thing from front to back to get the real deal.
Mm-hmm.
If you messed up, you need to look in here to find out how you can get corrected.
Amen.
Well, let me tell you this. When you look into the Word of God with a heart to respond to what you see, mm-hmm. you're not going to like the things that you see.
Mm-hmm.
But it's supposed to be that way, saints.
Mm-hmm.
See, when we look into the Word, those of us who think we're pretty are going to find out that we're spiritually ugly.
Mm-hmm.
Those who think that they're righteous are going to find out just how sinful you really are.
Mm-hmm.
The Bible doesn't show us our true selves so we can just walk away and moan about it. The idea is to see the truth so we can respond to the truth and fix what's wrong. Come on, say amen.
Amen.
We're trying to help you here today. Amen?
Mm-hmm.
See, some people want the Bible to give them a quick snapshot, like when you go to the mall and you jump in that little photo booth and you want one of those quick snapshots. But what we really need is an X-ray machine.
Amen.
Because you want this thing, to get deep down on it.
Amen.
Let me show you the Word.
Amen.
Go to Hebrews chapter 4. You want an X-ray machine.
Amen.
Because you want to see deep down on the inside of you.
Amen.
Hebrews chapter 4. Says this, verse number 12. It says, for the word of God is living and powerful and sharper than a two-edged sword,
amen.
Piercing even to the division of the soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. And there is no creature hidden from his sight, but all things are naked and open to the eyes of him whom we must give an account. You want this X-ray machine to expose every part of you.
Amen.
You don't want just a snapshot.
Amen.
You want it to uncover and unfold some things. Am I right about it?
Amen.
See, throughout Scripture, those who came face to face with God and saw themselves as they really were,
mm-hmm.
they had the same reaction. Like Isaiah said this in Isaiah 6 and 5. He says, whoa!
mm-hmm.
He says, woe is me, for I'm ruined.
Mm-hmm.
Huh? Am I right?
Uh-huh.
Peter said in Luke chapter 5 and 8, Peter said, told Jesus, he said, depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't even want him next to him.
Mm-hmm.
See, when these men looked in the mirror, they saw what reflected back to them. Mm-hmm. Amen?
Amen?
But they saw the true condition that God saw them in, and they were motivated to do something about it.
Mm-hmm.
That's what we have to get to. We need to, when we see something wrong, we need to be motivated to do something about it. Amen?
Amen.
When your heart has an attitude that says, Lord, make me clear what you want and I'll do it.
Mm-hmm.
That's what you want.
Amen.
Lord, make clear what you want and I'll do it.
Mm-hmm.
And then when you do that, you'll see things in scriptures you've never seen before. You'll see things in scriptures you've never heard before, and you'll understand things you never understood before.
Amen.
Am I right?
Amen.
Y'all saying amen? All right. I'm listening to every one of y'all. Amen. I'm taking a tally up here.
Amen.
Okay. Because see what you're doing is you're giving God the freedom to let you see yourself as He sees you. Right? When you do that, okay? The Holy Spirit can do that because He knows you are going to respond to what you see, and then you're going to be quick to say, "Oh no, Lord, that's not me. I don't want to be that way." Right? See, I get a little worried when I look out here and I see, you know, some of the y'all going like this, you know, nudging each other like the pastor talking about you. See, there was a husband that got up and he moved his seat because his wife was killing his ribcage.
All right.
See, God's word may be speaking to someone else for sure, but He may just be speaking to you too.
That's right.
Amen.
That's right.
So ain't no need of you nudging. Mm-hmm. Just go like this. Yeah, He's talking to me.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
That's right.
And when you do that, He says you'll understand the perfect law of liberty. Mm. Now, look what God says is asking us to respond to. He says it's the perfect law of liberty. I want to read that again. James 1:25. He says, "But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it and does not and is not a forgetful hearer but a doer of the work, this one will be blessed in what he does." Amen. The word of God is, we said last week, is flawless. It's infallible. Right? It's the truth. We said it was the whole truth and nothing but the truth, right? So when you look into Scripture with a heart to respond to it, you don't have to worry about going astray because it's the truth. Right? Yeah. And the word is also liberating. See, it sets us free from all the things in the world that try to hold us in bondage. So what the question is, what has you in bondage today?
Amen.
What has you, what, why are you in fear, or why are you so defeated? Because what you can do is turn that over to God. Come to the law, the law of liberty.
That's right.
And the Bible says that the word of God will do what? Set you free.
That's right.
Amen.
See, a lot of people have the wrong view of liberty, mm-hmm. right? And liberty to them is being free from all restraints, you know, and living without any boundaries or rules.
Mm.
But that's not biblical liberty.
Amen. That's right.
Right? Nor is it liberty in any sense of the word. So you can't be a liberated baseball player without any foul lines.
That's right.
Or a liberated tennis player without any baseline. Right? So you would just be a frustrated baseball player, tennis player. Am I right?
Amen.
See, liberty does not mean the absence of rules.
That's right.
See, true liberty means freedom to play the game as it was meant to be played.
That's right.
Am I right about it, Elder?
Amen.
Liberty is the freedom to live our lives as God ordained them to be lived.
Mm-hmm.
See, the only truly free people are those who are free to be what God created them to be. And that's, you got to get into this thing. Because He says in Jeremiah 29, can you find that for me, Elder RJ? Jeremiah 29:11. Okay, and then read that for me when you get there, okay? This liberty is what the Word of God will give us,
mm-hmm.
if we will respond to it.
Right.
Right. It'll give us the freedom. In Psalms 119, verse 45, it says, He says, "I will walk at liberty, for I seek thy precepts." You got it?
Mm-hmm.
Read that for me, please.
"For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end.
Mm-hmm. Okay. The writer is saying that God knows every step in every part of your life. He's already planned it out. He's already ordained it. And he just said to bring you to an expected end.
That's
for
right.
your future.
Right.
So if you will stay with Him, He will take you and He will guide you along the way through your future to His expected end, not yours
Amen.
Now,
Amen.
But to His expected end.
Amen.
Because sometimes you want to put your own things in there. As you're traveling down the road, you said, I'm going to take it right over here. But he said, no, you just stay on the path that I got for you.
That's right. That's right.
See, you nudging him? I'm talking to you.
Slide over.
Amen. See, people quote that scripture, the truth will set you free, right? Mm-hmm. But we have to ask ourselves the same question Pilate asked Jesus. He said, well, what is truth? Mm. And then Jesus answered that question for him in John 17:17. He said, my Father, you are thy truth.
Amen.
That's where the truth lies. If you want the truth to set you free, mm-hmm. go to the Father.
Amen.
See, there has to be a starting point or a source, you know, and a ground for all truth, and that's the revelation of God.
Yeah.
Am I right?
Amen. Amen.
See, when you respond to the Word of God, when you make it your truth, mm-hmm. right? When you make it your truth, then you will be free. Mm. Mm-hmm. Make God's Word uh-huh. your truth, your own
Amen.
Yes.
truth. Amen? Mm-hmm. Don't try to do it your own thing. Mm-hmm. He said, because... He said, if you do that, if you will accept the law of liberty, he says, this one will be blessed in what he does. You can enjoy the blessings of God. See, and I don't know anyone who doesn't want to be blessed.
Amen.
See, blessed in what he does, right? Mm-hmm. See, even unbelievers want to be blessed. Mm-hmm. But where do you find that kind of blessing? James says, it's being an effectual doer of the word.
Yeah,
do the word. Don't just hear it. Do it.
That's right.
Can I show you something else in 2 Corinthians chapter 3? I like the way Paul puts this. 2 Corinthians chapter 3. Verse number... Verse number 18. Are you there? 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse number 18. Everybody there?
Amen.
It says, but we all, with unveiled faces, beholding as in a mirror, the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as the Spirit of the Lord. See, blessedness comes with the Word of God. Mm-hmm. It transforms us into the image of Christ. In other words, we see the Son and are transformed by the Spirit of God so that we are able to live out the will of God.
Amen.
See, that's what you are made in the image of God, right?
Yes.
See, responding to the Word is like beginning a new workout.
Amen.
Responding to the it's like beginning a new workout. You decide that you're tired of being out of shape, right? So you start an exercise program, right? And when you do this, two things are going to become so clear right away. One, you ain't going to look like Lou Ferrigno.
You ain't in shape. You are not in shape.
And the second thing is that's going to shock you is that those first workouts are going to hurt. Because you haven't used muscles that you haven't used before, if you ever used them. So it's going to be painful for a while.
That's right.
I'm not looking at you saying that. I'm just saying. Okay? It's going to be painful for a while. See, but the only way to work to get past the pain is to keep exercising.
Amen.
Right?
Amen.
Then those sore muscles will start responding, and you'll find yourself getting in shape. Well, it's the same thing in the spiritual realm.
Mm-hmm.
Huh? The first couple of weeks,
mm-hmm.
you ain't going to look like Christ. When you start looking in here, in this word, it's going to hurt.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be painful
Amen.
For a while. Are you with me?
Amen.
Huh? Because you've been an instrument of the world for so long.
Mm, that's good.
Amen.
Come on now. Hmm.
It's going to be painful for a while.
Uh-huh.
It ain't going to feel good.
Mm-hmm.
It ain't going to look good.
Uh-huh.
You're going to want to throw in the towel and turn away, but if you will just keep on exercising,
amen.
Yes.
Keep on looking into the Word,
uh-huh.
Keep on coming to church,
amen.
Keep on coming to prayer,
yeah.
Keep on coming to Bible study,
amen.
You're gonna start getting some exercise in,
amen.
And then your physical, your spiritual, your ability is gonna get stronger.
Yeah.
And then when you've got a situation that arises in your life,
yeah.
Like I got financial problems,
amen.
Right? You're gonna be able to look through the Word and say, and like Deuteronomy 8:18,
yeah.
It says, "But for it is He, God, who gives
amen.
Me power to get wealth."
Amen.
Right? He says in Malachi chapter 3, because I got financial problems now. He said, if you bring all your tithes to the storehouse,
yeah.
Then I will open up the windows of heaven
yeah.
And pour you out a blessing. There won't be room enough to receive.
Amen.
Or you sick. You're going to look at Exodus chapter 15. It's going to say, come to me. I'm the God that healeth thee.
That's right.
Amen.
Or no sickness and disease will come nigh this dwelling.
Amen.
See, I don't know. Y'all hear me today.
Yeah.
That's what the Word of God will do for you.
Amen.
That's right.
Amen.
When you start exercising in it, you're going to start looking like Christ.
Amen.
You were made in His image.
Amen.
Am I right about it? Come on now.
Amen.
You know I'm right.
Amen.
You know I'm telling you right.
Amen. Come on now.
I couldn't stand up here and tell you wrong.
Amen.
Okay, so that's responding to the Word. That's how we respond to the Word.
Amen.
Now let's look at how we reflect the Word. Are you there?
Mm-hmm.
James. Chapter 1, verse 26 says this. If anyone among you think he is religious and does not bridle his tongue, but deceives his own heart, this one's religion is useless.
Mm.
Pure and undefiled religion before God and the Father is this, to visit orphans and widows in their trouble and to keep oneself unspotted from the world. Amen?
Amen.
See, the word religion, as James uses it here, has to do with external spiritual activity. See, those things that other people see and hear us doing. And that's really important.
Amen.
The other, you know, things that people see you doing when you walk through here and hear you doing when you get past here.
Mm.
Are you with me?
Amen.
See, so you in here on Sunday.
Uh-huh.
I'm just going to show you the word. Mm-hmm. See, James isn't saying that religious activity saves us because he's talking to you, the believer.
Mm-hmm.
He's talking to you.
Amen.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
See, he's talking to you, the believer. You've already received the word,
mm-hmm.
right? But James is saying that genuine faith ought to produce genuine works.
Amen.
One in our words.
Amen.
Watch this. It's interesting that James begins with the tongue because your mouth, some of y'all need to just shut up.
Mercy.
Amen.
Y'all need to shut up.
Amen.
This little appendage right here is going to get you in a whole lot of trouble.
Amen.
No matter what you may be doing, if you cannot control this tongue of yours,
uh-huh.
Come on now, your religion is a waste of time.
Amen.
See, and one proof that you have received the word and are responding to it is the way you talk.
Mm.
See, some of y'all walk right out of here. You say amen, and you walk right out of here. And
amen.
You walked away from here and forgot what kind of man you was. You know I'm telling you the truth. Just to give you an example of that, I'm not going to say where, but I left church the other day and walked outside the church,
mm-hmm.
right? Got down the street. Folks were standing outside the church smoking and cussing.
Mm-hmm.
Just walked out the door.
Mm.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
Smoking and cussing. I said, look at that. Gave me an illustration for my sermon. I mean, they didn't even have enough common decency to go down the street and get away from the church. You right in front of the church cussing and smoking.
Mm.
You're going to flag me down. I'm like, hey.
Stay over there.
I'm good.
See you.
See, James says in chapter 3 of James 9, he says that sometimes you use the same mouth to bless God on Sunday and curse people on Monday.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And then he says down in verse 11 in chapter 3, he says, does the fountain send out from the same opening both fresh and bitter water?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the answer is obviously no. So one way you can measure your progress in discipleship is by the way you use your tongue. See, and we're going to get into that over the next couple of weeks. You saw the flyer on the door. It says, speak the word only, right?
Amen.
Okay, we get into it.
Glory be to God.
I thought I wasn't just put that thing up there. I'm setting you up.
Amen.
See, when you are able to control your tongue, you know, that's a pretty good indicator that you got the real stuff. You hear what I'm saying?
Amen.
In the way you talk. Mm-hmm. It shows some spiritual growth. Amen?
Amen.
Then he says, it will produce genuine works in our works. Right? Our commitment to the Word of God will also reflect our works. James says in verse 27, he says, to visit the orphans and widows in their trouble. Mm-hmm. Right? You see that?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, he's talking about helping the helpless. Those who can do nothing for us in return.
Mm.
That's important.
Amen.
Okay? So we're not looking at a business deal here.
Mm.
Right? See, when you're in sync with the word, when the truth is getting down into your life, people who may otherwise not be noticed suddenly become very important to you.
Mm-hmm.
So you no longer look down on them or consider yourself better than them because you're serving and helping them because it becomes a necessity for you. You know what I'm saying?
Amen.
Those people that can't do nothing for you in return.
Mm-hmm.
See, but for most of us, following Christ will lead us to those who are poor and needy, in both spiritually and materially.
That's right.
Right? And I mean, there's a few people out there that are wealthy and got wealthy influence, and that's okay, and it should be that way. Right? But you want to make sure that you are reflecting what God is asking you to do. What God is asking us to do.
Mm-hmm.
Are you with me today?
Amen.
It says show up in your work. Whether you be out there at work or home. I was talking to Deacon the other day. And one of the things that I do is I keep like a $20 bill in my pocket. Right? For measure.
Oh, okay.
I don't do that no more, man.
Okay.
But you know, I keep a $20 bill in my pocket in case I see somebody in need. And the Holy Spirit speaks to me about helping that person. I was in at McDonald's the other day, and a gentleman came in, a soldier, with his two children, and they were all asking for hamburgers and stuff like that. And I had bought myself. I said, "You mind if I pay for your lunch today?" He was like, "Well, thank you very much. Can you have lunch with us?" So I bought us lunch, and we had lunch together.
Amen.
Not expecting anything in return.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Jesus.
And our walk. Produce genuine faith in our walk. See, our commitment also reflects itself in our walk.
Amen.
Right? The challenge here is to keep oneself unstained by the world.
Amen.
And that's being, you know, you're in the world, but not of the world.
Right.
Right? And we're supposed to mark the world for Christ and not allow the world to leave its mark on us.
That's right.
It's like this. If you got a stain on your blouse or your tie, and it's really obvious,
right?
And people might say things like, "You got a stain on your blouse," or "You got a stain on your tie," or something like that. They don't say things like, "That's a really nice tie, except for it got a stain on it,"
mm-hmm.
or "That's a really nice blouse, but your blouse got a stain on it, but the rest of you look nice." They don't say stuff like that. So why don't they say that? Because when you have a stain on your clothes.
Mm-hmm.
The stain takes center stage.
Mm-hmm.
It gets all the attention.
Amen.
So it's the same way with your spiritual life. Come on now.
That's
when
right.
The world stains you,
mm-hmm.
it shows.
Yes. Yes. That's good.
You know, like Lot, he allowed sin, the sin of Sodom, to spill over on him.
Mm-hmm.
And he lost everything, didn't he?
Yes.
But on the other hand, Abraham,
mm-hmm.
right, kept himself clean,
mm-hmm.
right, and he was blessed in everything that he did. Am I right?
Amen.
Let me show you what you need to abstain from. Romans chapter 12. You may not like this, but I'm going to show you anyway. Romans chapter 12. Verse number 2. Are you there?
Amen.
It says, "And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is thy good and acceptable, perfect will of God. See, you're called not to be conformed to the world in its behaviors and customs. Right? Going back over here to Colossians chapter 3. Watch this. This is what's going on in the world. But this ain't you, okay? This is not you.
Amen.
I said this is not you.
Amen.
Colossians 3. Are you there?
Amen.
Verse number 1 says, if you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on things of this earth. For you died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, appears, then you shall appear with him in glory. Therefore, put to death your members which are on the earth. Watch this now. Fornication. I ain't figuring nobody. Uncleanness. Passion. Evil desires. And covetousness. With idolatry. Because of these things, the wrath of God is coming upon the sons of disobedience, in which you yourselves once walked when you lived in them. You're not there no more. You heard me?
Amen.
Okay. But now you yourselves are to put off all these: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy language out of your mouth. Do not lie to one another, since you have put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man, who is renewed in knowledge according to the image of him who created him, where there is neither Jew nor Greek, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbarian or Scythian, slave nor free, but Christ is all and in all. Therefore, you need to underline this word right here, as the elect of God. You are the elect of God, chosen of God, okay? Holy and beloved, put on the tender mercies, on these tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, bearing one another, and forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you also must do. But above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfection. And let the peace of God rule where? In your heart, to which also you were called in one body, and be thankful. Amen. You're not there anymore.
Amen.
Because you see what I'm saying? You can't allow the world to stain you.
That's right.
Amen.
Amen.
I'm going to close by saying this. We're all cracked vessels. No doubt. Right? We all have flaws, and we got some leaks.
Amen.
Okay? The only way to keep a leaky vessel full is to keep the faucet turned on.
That's good.
Okay? We have to keep the Word of God flowing through us. Amen?
Amen?
Keeping us filled and clean is an absolute necessity. And there's no other way to be a genuine, growing disciple of Jesus Christ than allowing the Word of God rest, reign, and rule in your life.
Amen.
Be ye a hearer of the Word, not a doer. Be not a hearer, but a
not just a hearer,
but a doer.
Amen.
Amen. You will receive that. Come on, stand on your feet. Give God the glory.